Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, to me and let's talk truth.
Hey,
let's talk truth, straight from me to you.
Hey,
no need to worry, there's a brighter day. Just live your life no matter what they say. Let's talk truth so you can understand why knowledge is power and it's on the man.
Good evening, everyone. Prayerfully, all of you that's listening in and that's in our studio or that will be calling in, I will get something good out of this show tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about choosing a church home, or do I need one? You know, the world is going in such a stage now that people don't want to go to church. Everybody think they know everything that they need to know about their relationship with God, even though the things that they are involved with is nowhere near the Word of God. And as we said in the in our little introduction, that if we don't follow the Word of God, then we're merely giving our opinion. And if you'll notice that the majority of the advice that we get in today's society is opinionated. It's merely opinions. And opinions are not worth anything. If we don't line up what we do with the Word of God. Now, let's get to the point. How do we line up with the Word of God? How do we know the Word of God? Well, let me give you just a little background. Someone asked a question the other day. It says, what do I look for when finding a church home? And that one question has brought about many different answers. And it's a different thing to different people. But it is the responsibility of the called leaders in the body of Christ to set the record straight. There are many different roads. If you'll think about it now, when you're talking about, I know what I'm talking about. There are many different roads that can get us to a particular destination, but only the road assigned to us will prosper us. So it doesn't matter how we're going, doesn't matter how far we are, how far we're going. We just need to be in a position where we prosper. Now, the question again, choosing a church home or do I need one? I have had so many people in the body of Christ tell me, well, the first thing you need to know is, are they preaching the word? Now, show me a sinner, a person that's never been to Christ that can tell you if the church is preaching the word, first of all. So that's some ill advice that we're giving people. Then They said, well, you got to make sure they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, how does a person who never had a relationship with Christ know anything about the Holy Ghost? So that brings us back to the question, what do I look for when finding a church home? And we have a caller online. I want to welcome them to this segment of our program. And since you're just tuning in, our topic tonight is choosing a church home, or do I need one? If so many people, you would be surprised at the number of people will absolutely tell you they don't need to go to church. I read my Bible. I read my Bible every day, so I don't need to go. Well, as we stated in our introduction, if what you're saying doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's your opinion, and it has no truth and no foundation to it. And I want to welcome another caller on the line. And we're just kind of giving a little synopsis, but I want everybody that's on the line and here in the studio to just jump in when you want to, because right now we want to talk about, first of all, the different things that we're faced with. What are people being told when they say, what do I look for when finding a church home, or do I need one? What are some of the things people are being told? And we're not trying to get you to give us the right answer right now. What are people being faced with? What are people being told when they ask that question? Anybody?
Anything from making sure they have a good choir? Making sure the size is big enough where you don't actually have to do any work in the church. You can just show up and go.
Okay.
What? Make sure that it's somebody already established in the church to do things that you won't be asked to do nothing. These are little things people have been told, so.
Okay.
I think some of the things that are being told is that, where did God lead you to go? Where do you feel like you need to be? And, is there anything that you like about the church? You just have to go to church because. And mm-hmm. I guess for the most part, people were, like I say, for the most part, not everybody, but people were raised in church, so it's just something that they do. And what people tell them, you know, you need to go to church, you need to go to church. But then within yourself, you don't know, you know, what you are looking for when you do go to church.
Right.
And like the other host said, they look for a good choir. Well, to some people, that's all they look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's absolutely right. And I'm going to tell you a brief story. And it's going to kind of sum up what the leaders in the call leaders, and you know if you're called by God to do something. If you're called by God, we should make it so plain to people why, how to find a church home and why it's necessary. Number one, everybody's not called to preach.
Exactly.
There are five positions. If you ever apply for a job in the kingdom of God, there are only five positions available. And those five positions, you're either an apostle, you are a pastor, you are a teacher, a prophet, or an evangelist. Each of those five positions is stamped in somebody in their mother's womb.
Yep.
You don't know what it is until someone who has been called and stepped out in front that can stir that gift up in you. Now, what I mean by stir it up, make you aware of it. Now, I'm going to give you a little story. See, I can only tell you about me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everyone, like you guys said, is you were raised in church. You went to the church where the pastor said, where the people said, give the pastor your hand and do the
your
best
hand
you
and
can.
Do the best you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we weren't taught that we had a purpose in the body of Christ. All we know is I'm going to church, but what am I going for? And we
I'm sorry to interject, but I just want to say, yes, we all have a purpose, but the only problem that I feel that is facing now, people joining churches, is a lot of people that are in positions to guide those to say what their purpose is are only, you know, like I'll give myself a title and say I'm choir director. But I'm not doing it because I have a love to direct choir. I'm doing it so that I can have the thought of being that director. Am I doing the job? Am I ensuring that, am I doing these songs for show? Am I doing something that God have laid out and said, this will bless the hearts of the people? Because really, music is only to invoke the spirit and get you on a plane of praising the Lord to wipe everything that's worldly out of your mind, basically. But mm-hmm. when you have people who's like, I'm going to say this, I'm a pastor because, you know, I'm doing this.
I'm
you know, if somebody's going to go to church, I think you need to make sure. Now, I'm not saying judge for sin. I'm talking about everybody knows. The devil recognizes the devil. You see when somebody's working, just, you know, if you look over and see your pastor call at the club with you every Saturday, then, hey, maybe that ain't the church for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this can be common sense. Or if your pastor have, you know, or the deacons in the church have a lot of illegitimate children by other women in the church, that may not be the church for you. You know, all these things can be red flags, but people get in these positions and want to tell us we have, oh, you have a purpose, you have this, and look, this is my purpose. But if you're not work, if you're saying that God called you to be this and you're not working in your purpose, then how are you going to pay me how to walk in mine?
Well, let's start this even plain. And when I said start on the even plane, I mentioned earlier that your purpose is stamped inside of you in your mother's womb. So as you grow and you start to go to church, whatever God has called you to do, he's going to push you in that direction. Now, we have the option to ignore it, but he's absolutely going to make that your direction available to you. I had no idea that I was going to be a pastor one day. I didn't know that. But God knew what he had called me to do, and he knew that I was going to go through a lot because I accepted this position. Now, let me tell you what God did. He led when I was 18 years old, and I had been in church all my life. When I was 18 years old, going on 19, I worked with a young lady who was approximately 19 or 20 years old, but she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was one of those call leaders. And I was having such a hard time. People can tell when you're struggling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me one day, she said, you know, she said, you need to, she said, God is trying to talk to you. Well, I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, I can't help you get there. She said, but a pastor can. Now, let me tell you, Satan sees your purpose. He knows what you're called to do, and he uses every opportunity to stop you from getting there. Because your purpose is going to be a freedom for a lot of people. So she said, I know some pastors. She said, I'm going to set you up an appointment with one. She said, so she did. Now, the devil knew that I reverenced pastors. I respected a pastor more than anything in this world. I thought they were next to God. I respected them that much. Well, mm-hmm. the devil will use what's inside of you to absolutely kill you with it.
Mm-hmm.
So she made an appointment for me to see a particular pastor. At that appointed time, I arrived at his office. The secretary of the church set me in his office. He came around his desk looking at me just like a man would at a club. Say, look, boy, you sure got some pretty legs. Your husband will let you out like this, blah, blah, blah. Now, my answer should have been, I ain't got no husband. But I was so appalled that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and I left his office. And I said I would never go to another pastor like that again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided to give it one more try. And I went to a pastor and I sat in his office. Well, he didn't just come up and make a remark. He came up and tried to kiss me. So I popped him across his face and I left. But I was 19 years old, and that did something to me to the point that I believed no pastor. I didn't want any preacher preaching to me. Now, believe me, God is trying to call me into my purpose. He's trying to show me where my purpose is. And while God mm-hmm. is showing you your purpose, the devil is going to attack you and stop you from getting there.
Well, he's also showing you what not to do.
Right. So I didn't go to anybody's church from then on. And people used to, I had a really good friend who used to teach Sunday school. And she said, Gary, you ought to go to church. Yeah. I said, are they having any singing? I said, because I don't want no preacher telling
mm-hmm.
me nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that did something to me. Now, when you're unsaved and you don't have the power of God in your life, you cannot do anything but what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that went on like that until I was 33 years old. And I was at work, and there was a little lady that used to come to me every day. Hey, baby. How are you? Oh, we're having a revival. Don't you want to go? I could be standing among all my friends at lunch, at break, and she would come and address me. And it got to the point where, and my mom always taught us, be respectful. And I would tell her,
mm-hmm.
no, ma'am, I might one day, but I had no intentions of ever going. So this went on for several months. I stayed in this job, but I transferred to another city. Now, that lady wasn't there, but it was another one there that started doing me the same way. Again, that's God tugging at you. Now, most of us will say, Carol, come go to church with me. Oh, I went to church with Sally today. I think I'm going to join her church. But is that what God told you to do? Because you have to keep in mind, the church that you belong to has to be something that feeds that purpose in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you understanding me?
Oh,
yeah. It has to be something. It has to feed that purpose that God put in you. So, if I don't care what's going on in the church, it's liars, backstabbers,
mm-hmm.
Whoremongering preachers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But where God puts you, that's exactly where you're going to grow from.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He has to show you the downside as well as the upside.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe me, when you choose a church home or when you find a church home, it's not going to always be howdy day. You're not going to go there grinning every day.
Mm-mm.
Somebody's going to get mad at you. Somebody's going to lie on you. You're going to see some preacher get out of hand with another woman or something. But it's something there that you need. And not only that, is something there that needs you.
There you go.
It's a twofold purpose there. Mm-hmm. So I won't tell you, and I refuse to be a part of someone that tells you that the church youth be, make sure it's this, make sure it's that. That's not our job. Your job is to go to the place that you're going to, God can build you in.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, because everybody needs building. You're not born.
Yeah.
A lot of young people now think that just because they can read and write, they can preach to themselves. Not so, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Not so, brother. And even if that little sticky note inside of you say you're a pastor, you still have to be groomed to get there. So I'm doing all the talking, but I want you all to bear witness to what I'm saying, because we've got to stop people from, I'm going to take my whole family to church. Maybe God don't want your whole family in that church. Everybody has a different call. You know, you're called to do something
right.
Which certain, I might pot an ivy plant and put water on it once a week, and you might pot another plant that needs to put water on it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Where God sends you is where you're going to develop, and that's where you're going to grow. And we must always keep this in mind. We can ignore it. We can do what we want to, but we have to stop being so self-righteous. Yeah, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost I don't know how many years, but and that with fire.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that.
You know the drill. But the thing of it is, God is looking for laborers. He's looking for people to work. He's not looking for grandstanders.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking for somebody on the runway. He's looking for laborers. He said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, the place that God sent me to grow from, I had a hard time, but I hung in there because I knew that's where God sent me. God sent me here. He will never send you to a place that he doesn't mean for you to grow. I was sharing with a young lady today about her job. I said, there's something at that job that's for you, but the devil don't want you to get it. Stop letting him manipulate you. You know the devil will manipulate you and have you thrown in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm quitting. And your breakthrough is just right there over, on the other side of the towel that you threw down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, you guys, somebody talk.
Well, it sounds good what you're saying. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Doing that, I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just saying amen. Uh-huh, you're right. Absolutely. I had a young man to tell me, and I myself know that he's an evangelist, but he told me he was absolutely sure that God had called him to pastor, but he don't keep a church. And that's one of the ways that you know that God didn't call him to be a pastor. But everybody wants to be a pastor, and I don't know why. That's one of the hardest jobs in the kingdom. But they don't know the purpose of a pastor. When God say that I call pastors after my own heart, that means you don't look at the people for what they are, who they are, and how much they sin and fall down and get back up and all that. You look at them, you only see the love that God has for them. You don't see nothing else. And that's what people are missing. And those pastors that had all this lust and all, they were acting just like the scum of the earth. How are you going to run people, God's people off? Somebody innocent come to you, and you run them off like that? Woe to those that scatter my sheep is what the Bible tells us. Yep. Woe to those. Now, that sent you out. Well, at least you tried it again. Some people don't even try it again. They out there in the world. They tried to come in, and somebody failed them. And they went back out and said, no, I'm not going to do that. I might as well stay where I am, right out there in the world. And then they try to be the best person they can because somebody in the church hurt them. Now, God knows how to draw his people because he also tells us with loving kindness did I draw you. So he'll send somebody to draw them in, but woe to that one that sent them out in the first place.
That's right.
Woe to that one. But they do not have what God say he calls his pastors at. He calls them after their own heart. You would not dare to hurt God's people. When God called a pastor, he calls the ones that know how to love his people, know how to talk to his people, to always build them up, and to always say, God know exactly where they are, and in God's own timing, they coming in. All we got to do is keep praying for them. And that's our purpose, to pray for God's people. Because he doesn't trust everybody with his people. But like I always say, and you know you heard me say it, and I will not take it back, some were sent, but some just went.
That's true.
And I'm not taking that back. I've seen a lot of them standing in places where they shouldn't be.
The other young lady that was talking to earlier when she said people don't be over the choir because they want to, elevate the Spirit of God. They're over there to flow. And so you're saying the same thing. Our pastors are in that same position. They just want to run something.
Exactly.
I want to run something.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And by God, I'm going to run it.
Yeah,
right
or
wrong, I'm going to run it.
And I don't want to be accountable to anybody. I tell you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I would hate to see them on that day. I would hate to see them.
Yeah.
Because when God comes to chastise, I feel bad. Because it's not going to be a good sight. It would scare me to death. To death.
There are a lot of things that go into hurting someone where they'll stay away from the church. There are a lot of different things that's done to people. I know a young lady that was damaged, low self-esteem, and had to just make herself be accepted and everything. So now you can't tell her nothing about Christ. She doesn't even go to church. She said she can read her Bible at home.
Yeah.
But,
whoa.
But that's, somebody hurt her to get her to that point because the Bible strictly tells us how can you hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they are? And you,
but like I say, some just went though. Wasn't all
sin. But so you might can read and write, but you're not a pastor. You can read, you can comprehend that you read. But God's anointing has to be there to destroy that yoke that's hanging around.
And how do we know that? We know that because of the eunuch that said, but how could I know unless someone teach me?
Yes.
And he was an educated, smart man. Yeah.
But he said, hey, say, brother, how you doing? Sit there in that chariot. What you doing? I'm reading. Okay, you understanding what you're reading? He said, man, I can't understand what I'm reading. Yeah, I'm not in a position to understand it. I need you to share it with me. so that I can get.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why God don't like those preachers that's got to be all the big words and the things and that. You're
mm-hmm.
losing some little person in your congregation.
And he said to let her kill it.
Yeah, but the spirit makes alive. I think Elijah
Amen.
Was. Elijah was, they called him
educated.
A big. Yeah, he didn't have no, he didn't graduate from Harvard.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Oh, yeah,
he
was the one unlearned.
Yeah, he was an unlearned man, but he performed so many miracles.
Exactly.
Yes, he performed miracle after miracle. And
yeah, I'm thinking about Isaiah. Isaiah was the educated, what's the name? He was the educated one.
And not mm-hmm. only that, Paul was educated. But when he got slapped off that donkey, he realized
he wasn't all of that.
Yeah, he wasn't all of that. And this is what God wants us to do. And somehow we forget as leaders in the body of Christ that we are servants.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a queen.
Mm.
You're not a prince or a princess. You're a servant.
Servant,
you know, we have
of
to
the
serve
Most High God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jesus. Jesus, man, Jesus speak to the
he
wind.
He was
the, wind
the man.
But guess
mm-hmm.
what? He's a servant. He served,
people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that's where we have to be.
Yes.
If we are going
to
be a part of him.
Mm-hmm. And we do need to be a part of a church home. We definitely need to be a part of a church home. And you have to be led. Let God lead you to that church. Don't go to church because your best friend go. Your best friend may not have what what you need. God will send
mm-hmm.
you to build you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Just be patient.
Anybody else? Caller, you're still there. Come on, talk to us.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Oh, you talking about? Oh.
Okay, good. So, you know, I've been listening to everything that you're saying, and I think it's a lot to take into consideration. You know, you can't pick in a, I look at picking a church home like picking a prom dress. You know, it's the one event. You know what I mean? You never get to redo it. It's
mm-hmm.
just like you have to make sure that you were sent to the right store. You know, if you're a plus-size girl, you know you can't shop at 579. Don't go there. You have to find that fit that's for you because everybody has their way of reaching the Lord, their way, and something that reaches them. You know, I heard you tell a story about, you know, when you were younger, some things that you went through. It's difficult
mm-hmm.
now for people to trust what people tell them simply because of all of the horrific things that have been portrayed
mm-hmm.
throughout media, social media attacks about our church leaders and things that come out about them, and it makes you, you know, kind of not trust them. But no one goes into this, I think, the right way. It's either they wholeheartedly with blind faith trust the person versus God, and forgetting who they're using as a conduit to get a message from God. It's not that they
mm-hmm.
don't, you know, we've turned to worshiping the person and not the fact that that's who God's using to tell the message. Now, regardless of what they do, a gift is a gift, you know, and that comes without repentance. God gives you that if you make your work active. But that's why you have to continually strive to have that relationship with him in order to find out where you need to go, where your purpose is given, and anything that God places you in, it's going to be easy. You're going to be mad. What's the thing you say? You know, you either leave the church shouting, glad, or fighting mad.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things. So you just have to kind of make sure that you stay in tune with God. That's the thing. You have to go seek yourself. You know, put that prayer time in and be led by him. Don't go because of a fad or everybody in my school go there or no, everybody from my job go to this church. Oh, man, the choir is five. Or some people go to church based on the time you get out. I'm just saying, it's just make sure you don't forget who God is when picking anything of that nature, because it's not just saying, oh, church, because this is your soul, your eternal soul that you're needing to be fed and you're fighting for.
But do you know, I firmly believe that a person who's never had a relationship with God, who don't know the word purpose, can't spell purpose, I don't believe that person even realizes that they have a soul at stake. Now, so you know what that makes? That makes the people who are called by God to represent God. Do you know he gave us gifts to see these people and to know how to love them? You know, a lot of people don't know, and we get, okay, say for instance, there's a lady out there that you know God sent you to encourage. That God wants her to come be with you. And she's not quite doing it. Well, you know what most of the leaders now say? Forget her. You know, she don't want to come. I'm not going to force her. It's not you forcing her anyway.
That's because people nowadays don't want to do their job. Okay, let's just be real about it. In the world, period, people go to work every day and don't want to do their job. From the McDonald's person, from the person that works at the insurance company, you can find in every type of facet of work that there's somebody who don't want to do their job. And same is said for the body of Christ. People get in the body of Christ and want their position and nobody does their job. If they did, do you really think the state of the world would be as it is if all of these churches that are packed and full of people were actually doing what they're supposed to do and it wasn't a rare few? I'm talking about what they're supposed to do. I'm not talking about making sure the collection plate has reached the back row and that the electric bill is paid every month. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuinely reaching out to those people in your in the audience of your church that God has put you over and or put you in. Like you said earlier, we all have a position to play. How do you think people profit a lot? Because unless we remove ourselves, ourselves can be interjected upon the devil through our mind, and we tell somebody something that can destroy them based off of what we feel. Those of us who know better should do better, and it's time out for all this. Well, just keep praying for them. No, some of these sisters, like you say in the Bible, some of these sisters need to pull these other sisters. Let's pray for Sister Jenkins. You know, she got a habit of lying at church. Let's get this out of her. Come on, let's all go have a breakfast at Sister Mayhouse, and we're going to sprinkle that oil on her when she get in there. Pour some in the orange juice and pray that devil out of her. We don't do that no more. We medicate everybody. We want to dismiss everybody. Somebody does one thing wrong that you can see that they've done wrong, and we want to put them on the chopping block. But yet, the people who repeatedly do the same nasty, vile thing over and over just because they grin and say, oh, I love the Lord. I love him. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? But they say that all of a sudden. I was that little girl watching people in church shout in the church, across the church. I'm talking about speaking in tongues, trying to cast out devils, and go right out the door and say something so horrible about someone inside the church. They just got through thanking God for on the microphone in front of the entire church. I want to thank God for Sister May. Ooh, Sister May just gets on my nerves. She stinks so bad. What kind of message are you sending? Because it's not just the adults you have to worry about. It's the children who you need to introduce to Christ, because everything is going haywire.
Good night, baby.
What example are you showing them? What are you showing them?
Well, one thing we can say, we're not showing them the love of Christ, as he said that we must do. We're not doing that. And people, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God's people. He said he wouldn't have us to be ignorant. I believe what he said. I won't have you to be ignorant. You're not going to fool everybody. You think you're getting away, but the bottom line of it is people see you dirt, and they praying for you anyway, and that's what breaks them down, because people pray for your rotten self anyway. They don't care because you can't hurt them. You can't hurt God's people. You can't use God's people. You think you are. Mm-mm. But see, God has instructed people, be good to them. And see, some people don't, I mean, they mean God all the way. You know, it doesn't matter what he looks like or seems like. They mean God all the way. Do whatever you want to me. You think you're getting away, but I'm going to tell my dad on you, you ain't going far. Believe that. You ain't going far.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And see,
you know,
ones that's supposed to do certain things, if they
mm-hmm.
love the Lord, if they believe what they preach, what I mean talk about, then they will do. And they really will turn that next cheek. They really will turn that other cheek.
Right.
The thing of it is,
but,
don't try that too many times. And I mean that.
Right.
Don't try that too many times, because the difference between God and the devil ain't no fool, but neither is God. So you
mm-mm.
do that today, but don't come back here tomorrow think you're going to try, because ain't nobody no fool. If the devil going to stand up there and slap me twice, you don't get a chance to do it for one time, because I slapped the devil out of you. And I mean that. Godly mean that.
Yeah.
You let the devil
you know,
use
what
you?
I honestly think, I used to, you know, kind of be like, why do they have, like, orientation class for new Christians? And I even say why sometimes I think that's a good thing. When I say orientation, I'm not talking about telling them how to act. But to be real and say, don't come to church thinking that everybody in here is struggling just like you with something. Because that's what people think. I think the church is just, you have more mess in the church than anywhere. And people forget that that's where you go when you sick. And
when you need
a person who
has
not been
in
church and who don't understand that, they don't understand that coming in. That's why they shoo so many people away. Now, another part of that is, I think, because fine if we sitting down together struggling, but you shouldn't be struggling with alcoholism and running the prayer line. And I'm struggling with alcoholism. I'm coming here to get rid of. You see what I'm saying? Those things don't match. But, you know, everybody got a chapter in their life. Everybody's life is a book.
Yeah.
And everybody has a chapter that they don't read aloud. And that's just real talk.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be honest with people. And that's what I think we lose it. We want to point at other people and say, you know, when they come to a church or whatever. And I think that's what draws a lot of people away.
I think
you want to point and say what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. You doing this wrong, but your life is complete shambles. Don't make a person feel bad. That's why we left God out of it. We putting ourselves trying to
instruct.
So we already know we here. So when you choose a church home, you have to go where they feel comfortable. Yeah, can I come to church ugly and I'm still accepted? Can I go natural and the church still? You know, can I still keep my feet on the front row? You know, things like that. You look for comfortability. Who can help you when the time, you know, look, my lights is off, but I'm going to come in here and praise the Lord anyway. And if you're looking a little weird, you ain't had no water on at your house for a week, ain't nobody going to talk about you if they see in the same dress.
Exactly.
They know you're coming to church to do better. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things we need to look for, but we don't. We look for who got the best choir, who can do the fashion show. It turns to who going to outshout each other. You see it all the time. You can see how I know. Cameras are the most beautiful things ever. You catch people doing some of everything. Like that man is under scrutiny. Now you sitting in church watching porn while the church is going on. And somebody behind you is videotaping the choir and caught you watching porn. Now you losing your position in the church. But why are you in church watching porn? Somebody's always watching you. So when you choosing your church home, those are the things we need to look for. Like, is it blatant just disrespect to the Lord going on in that?
I think now this is one thing that I kind of want us to kind of think about. When you trying to choose a church, you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you. You just kind of go. God don't always look out for you. You just kind of go to the one that you think is okay. Whether you were invited by your friend or your neighbor or somebody you just know, or you just decide to stop in. But something about that church, you either going to like or God's going to say, get up and get out. And that's before you get saved. Before you get saved, because he protects us with his own life. Remember that. He protects us. He said he will lead us into all truth. I believe him on that. And the same thing is that when you go to another one, he either going to let you stay there to learn what you need to learn, or he's going to say, get up, get out.
That's
and you
right.
might even stay there 1 or 2 years. You might stay there for 6 months. It's no, but you're going to learn something while you're there on your way to the place where he purposed you to be. But see, it's
yes.
a learning process. We can't just inhale all of it at one time. So he he teaches us this. And by the way, while you are looking, you are steady giving something to somebody to bless them because you are receiving something. And then when you finally find out what God wants you, you're going to have enough in you to really be a servant wherever you are. And that's even while you are learning, you still in your neighborhood, in your community, doing something good. Doing you in your ministry from the time you just don't know it. You are
you
in
just
your
don't
ministry
know
whether it's whether it's giving a dollar to a person that's hungry or going to the food bank to get food to pass out into areas that don't have
right.
people that don't have cars to you're gonna be in your purpose. But
yeah.
even if you don't know you're doing it, and then one day somebody gonna say, you act like, and it, believe me, they're going to be sent by God. Because ain't nobody going to take. A lot come with all kinds of truth. It's their truth, not necessarily. They're going to say, I have that the way you are doing things, you sound more like this than that. Are you this or are you that? You'll say, I don't know. But somewhere along the line, somebody going to speak that truth into your life. And you're going to say, that's why. That is the reason. And it's going to fall
right.
on you like a glove. It's going to fit you like a glove. You might not know it, but everybody around you see it because that's who you are. You've been walking in your purpose all along. I see some kids that are 2 and 3 years old that are leaders. Why? Because they the smallest thing in the house, they're telling other folks what to do. And it makes sense. Leader.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it's put in you in your mother's womb.
Yes, it is.
I was talking to a young lady on yesterday, and I never wondered why she and her husband were no longer together, but she's a powerful, powerful little woman of God. And we were talking about, you know, being in the body of Christ, and she said, I tried to stay with my husband because I felt that that's what God wanted me to do. She said, but I couldn't keep ignoring the fact that he was blessing every woman in the church but me. She told me, she said, when my husband came to me and told me God was calling him to pastor, she said, I didn't agree with it. Because I just didn't see pastor in him. She said, but I realize now he was doing it to have access to the different women in the church.
Oh, my God.
She said, it was so sad. She said, he would get his things confused and be over the pulpit talking about, I bought my wife this. He said, I know he hadn't bought it for me. And she said it just kept going on. She said she just kept ignoring it and overlooking it. And she said, one day God just told her, girl, how long you going to be a fool? That ain't your husband. You know.
Won't he do it?
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. I said, God said, whatsoever I have joined together. I said, don't you know God don't put these people together as cheating? No, he don't do that. He doesn't give you a gift like that.
Mm-mm.
He gives you
because it's not
love
a gift.
And nurturing.
It's
yeah.
a curse.
And that's why I tell people all the time that I say, you women looking for a good husband, you got to be a good woman. God ain't going to give you his jewel to have you mess over him, have you pat your hair every day. like your scalp and this. You patting your hair and working your neck and telling you ain't fixing him no plate. And you need to be fixing me a plate. God not going to give you his jewel like that. So
oh, my God.
When she told me that, I really felt bad for the man that he would do that. You'll go to all of this extreme, lying to God, standing before God, saying, you know, I'm your pastor, just so you can have access to the different women in the church.
But aren't you scared, though? See, that's the thing. That is the thing. You don't have no fear. You don't have no reverence of God that you could do some things like that. To his beloved. If they knew how God loved his people, they would not mess around with God's people. They would be trembling in their shoes. They don't have no fear. And that scares me. Anybody scares me to know him.
Absolutely. We have to.
He's not a paper play pretty.
Yeah. We have to realize, number one, in the body of Christ, you are not the star.
Amen.
You are not the star. Stop trying to preserve your star. You don't get no star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's not for you. You know, God said he got us a crown, but it ain't down here. We have to, and it's enough to just, oh, God, I think every day of the mess we've made of the world God gave us, we've made such a mess of it. Our young people don't respect one another. They don't respect grown-ups. You know, they judge and they don't respect me. I'm not going to respect them. You're still wet behind the ears. You don't know what respect is. You can't spell it. if you ask them to spell respect, they'd have to sing Aretha Franklin song and know how to spell it.
Yep. Yeah, but you know, that was the thing that upset me more than anything about when that kid was standing there staring at that older gentleman. That bothered me because I saw up front what America had stooped to, that they have no respect for their elders. You know, and I think that whether the older gentleman was wrong or whether the other guy was right, the lack of respect is what bothered me the most. This older guy, what happened that this older guy doesn't have any respect? Now, here we've come and taken his land. We've pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. And now he's singing his song. And you got the nerve to stand there and smirk at him, you little young person. That's why so many of these young people are dying, because it's the lack of respect. And the people have not taught them, but they said, he's right. What was he right about? How did he get the nerve to be right about anything? That would have scared me to no end when I was a kid. And going to confront an older person?
Yes, it would.
My parents would have beat nearly the life out of me. Right or wrong, they would have beat me to no end. Because they said, if a person say this, then they got to be right about it. An older person. Mm. But somewhere along the line, we've lost all of that. And that just scares me.
Because we don't listen to... We put ourselves on the same level as a person who has suffered and gone through something.
Exactly.
No, you haven't gone through anything.
Hadn't gone through nothing. Not yet.
But you should see. That's one thing we didn't. I was raised around people who would be drunk. Oh, the men would be drunk. Women be drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you one thing. Excuse me, Miss So and So, Mister So and So. Yes, sir.
Ma'am.
No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's
just,
right.
You know, stay out of their face, but it wasn't no
respect.
Way. They disrespect me when they came around me drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, there was
nothing
like that.
No, it wasn't, because y'all parents didn't do that. So what happened to the kids that's up now? If the parents that raised you guys raised them, or and the parents that they raised somebody else, then where did it fall down? Where did it started to fall down when we started saying, like, it takes a village to raise a child. I remember going down to getting in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. That's really what it boils down to as far as the church anyway. Community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about where you live. I'm talking about a sense of family, unionship.
Yeah.
One on the
mm-hmm.
same page. We don't have any of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the breakdown is. That's why it's difficult for people to find a church home when they flop from church to church, because, number one, loyalty is something presented before God. Because if you really want to think about it, yes, God is the Almighty. But whomever a child deems as their mother, that is the name of God to children, because that's who they turn to. So when the parent or whomever the caregivers are gets people into the church, they have lost a sense of unity. There is no more, you know, you can't talk to little DeQuavian like that. Whereas DeQuavian is hollering like
exactly.
the little boy was, it's too loud, it's so, and his mama hit him with that book in the face of the church. And everybody, ooh, she shouldn't have done that. No, because Sister Mary
yes,
behind was saying, hey, sit down. She wouldn't have been sitting back there in the back of the video shaking her head at him. We don't have that anymore. So I think that's where the breakdown is. We have too many people
lying.
Yeah,
it is.
Too many people pretending that they want to seek something better as far as Christ, or wanting to do this, but only doing it as a position of power. And when people come to seek and they're open and willing, the devil knows. He was there at the beginning. He knows how to present to you as going to deter you. Look at my mother. She was very, you know, your old pastors are great. Then all of a sudden, what happened? A pastor comes on to you or tells you you got to change your lipstick, or, you know, does all kinds
mm-hmm.
of things to deter
mm-hmm.
you from what you are. But the problem is, where is the rest of the church to notice what's going on, to be able to stand in the gap and be like, hey, sister, listen, that is the devil using this person to do this. You don't give up on God, because her journey wouldn't have been as long as it would have had somebody done what they're supposed to do instead of looking at her as just another tithe-paying member.
Mm-hmm. You know, this
well,
is really true. Getting good, but we're going to have to bring it to a close, because we're down to 1 minute and 34 seconds. But I want to take this opportunity to say, appreciate those of you that called in. I appreciate the ones that's here in the studio, even though they didn't talk, they're just listening. And sometimes it's good to listen so you can learn. But
mm-hmm.
We want to do this again next week, next Tuesday. And I'll tell anybody, if it's something you, in your heart, you want to talk about, just let me know, and we'll absolutely address it. We'll talk about it, because we want to do this where people can be knowledgeable, where people can receive the knowledge of whatever it is we need to talk about. Okay? So for
Amen.
Those who have called, thank you very much for calling in. And I want to say this. Beg pardon? I want to say this, that I will be talking with you a little bit later on. And I will see you on next week, and I'm going to say this. Good night, and I am loving you with the heart of God. So I'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Good night.